Welcome back to the CTO Playbook, the podcast dedicated to helping CTOs excel. I'm your host, Adam Horner. With 30 years in the industry, including over a decade as a CTO, I have coached and mentored more than 100 engineers and tech leaders. This podcast covers crucial topics for CTOs, providing insights, strategies, and practical advice to help you build and refine your own playbook to excel in your role. In this episode, I'll be speaking to Deepak Mistry, who is a senior architect and has struggled in the past to recruit architects who not only know their technical domain, but can also confidently and effectively present their work to. When he found that over 90% of his candidates failed the grade on presenting technical aspects, he turned to teaching the process he calls the five S's to help deliver effective technical presentations, regardless of who the audience is. Keep listening as Deepak shares his playbook with us and hear how you can use it to level up your approach to presenting and increase your chances of getting the outcomes you are looking for, whether talking to your board, your engineers, or anybody in between. Deepak, welcome to the CTO Playbook. It's great to have you here.
Hi, Adam. Good to be here. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. It'd be great for our listeners to hear a little bit about you and who you are.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. So my name's Deepak Mistry. I'm an IT consultant working with CTOs on the CIOs and developing the strategy, also helping IT professionals with their presentation skills. I've been in the industry for 25 years, seems like a long time. And again, worked my way up through the different guises of IT and IT professional roles, from starting off as a developer, working my way through to more functional roles, where I became more attuned with the business side and business processes. Really just more consulting roles, large consultancy organizations, working with multinational organizations, and then moved more into kind of the architecture role as we evolve and doing lots more solution architecture, enterprise architecture, strategy, working with senior leadership, et cetera, going forward.
And have you generally been working with larger companies over that experience or more sort of small and medium-sized businesses and startups?
Both, to be fair. Most of my current career has been large multinational organizations, global, local, some local government as well. As I found more and more as working with smaller organizations, I enjoyed that kind of understanding the end-to-end business, and rather than being siloed in certain parts of the large organizations. So yeah, we're both, and you find a lot more information when you're working in small organizations and being able to help them across the board.
And what are some of the most sort of common challenges that you've seen from senior tech leaders, strategic tech leaders, when it comes to getting that message across?
Effectively, it's been understanding business goals and tying the technology back to how the business can actually achieve their goals and leverage that technology to meet their goals and ambitions. We work in a world where CTOs have naturally come from a technical engineering background. So their roles have been very much in the frame of technical skills and knowledge and how they grow their skills and knowledge. And as you work further, as you move further, progress further up the chain in your career, you find that you have to talk to more kind of business senior leadership, whereas they're non-technical. So your audience changes and it's always been hard for them to kind of adapt and evolve and think more strategically rather than kind of more firefighting. Because in their roles as engineers and in the technical world, we're more firefighting as opposed to thinking ahead and looking further ahead, vision and strategy, et cetera.
And is it as simple as just thinking short-term versus long-term, or is there more to it than that?
Yeah, there's definitely more to it. Technology is really involved. So, I mean, the pace of technology it's kind of never been so fast before than it has now. So
constantly accelerating, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, gone are the days of developing a five-year strategy and just working through that for a five-year basis on an annual basis, just doing, you know, reviewing it. You know, you're reviewing the strategy more often than not nowadays. So I think the role of the CTO has changed very much as well in terms of what they're trying to achieve. The question around is it long-term, short-term vision? It's having the ability to have a strategy that is a long-term vision with the ability to adapt and adopt in short term. So within kind of quarterly reviews and updates and tweaks. The word of kind of agile and iteration, you know, comes to mind when we talk about what we do compared to the long-term two-year transformation waterfall type projects we used to do. Everything should be more agile. Everybody wants to do more things quicker, but you need to be able to adopt and adapt to that type of culture and mindset as well. So you've got to be able to understand your goal and goal, but you're building your journey. How you get to that goal is something you're building along the way and forward.
Yeah. And so that's generally the difference between strategy and planning, isn't it? Where the executive team, the CEO are looking at a strategy that is longer term, whereas engineering, because it tends to be looking shorter term for the agile approach to things, we tend to be looking at much more sort of execution based and operating on plans essentially. So when it comes to communicating between those two, are there some common patterns and common mistakes that you've seen when people begin to try and cross that boundary of communication?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. The kind of the things that they really struggle with is the foresight of what's going to happen in the future. You can't see what's going to happen in the future. However, you've got to be able to build that into your kind of design, your build, and your presentation plans as you go forward. So the biggest challenge you have is the ability to take all that information, disseminate it, and actually ensure the right people are getting the information they need. So it's you know, the key area there is to kind of know your audience, because there's different types of information each audience needs, from a C-level suite down to an engineer, that you're trying to achieve the same goal, but you need different information to be able to achieve that goal and move forward. So you've got to be able to understand where you're going to. And one of the key things I've used in the past or picked up on is Simon Sinek's why, the power of why. So really understand why you are putting that presentation together and what you're after. I mean, for me, as a CTO in the CTO world and senior leadership, there's kind of three reasons you put together a presentation. One is to kind of get a decision made or approval for budget or technology. The next one is either you're educating a senior leadership or the team on something in the technology world or in your world, or you're giving a progress update. Sometimes you can do all three, but they're the kind of three areas.
So seeking approval for a budget or for a program, delivering an update where you're at and, you know, progress on something. Or what was the third one, sorry?
The third one is, you've got me now. So we talked about the approval, progress update, or education. That's key. Now, sometimes obviously approval and update and education are all interlinked, but you've got, if you think about those three areas, you could actually build a good structure around that as well going forward.
So can you give us some examples of when you've seen it done so badly that you sort of cringed and thought, oh my goodness me, how can you do it that badly?
Yeah, one of the key areas in my area was I was running a program. We had multiple architects on the program, and they would love to just share their knowledge of what they know and what they present. So they were just really, if they were asked a question of trying to solve a problem and come up with options for design, they really would just document into a presentation everything they knew technically about that solution and the option. So it became like just a information sharing exercise. Now, the problem with that is even when you get senior leadership, it was either trying to validate their knowledge and who their kind of purpose for being there. Whereas when we get to that level, it's quite clear that senior leadership have given you that role and that purpose because you're already validated in terms of your expertise and knowledge, and they just want to understand the information that comes, the information they need to know from a business to make a business decision. That's effectively what they need to know.
Right. So the overload of information there was completely non-practical for making a decision based on some sort of criteria as to which was the better way to go in terms of all the options that were given in this sort of dump of information that they were given from those architects.
Yeah, exactly like that. I spend a lot of time kind of summarizing information and the data to be able to just summarize what the ask was. So what the guys are not really clear on was that they've always addressing the question I was being asked. So be clear on the question that you're being asked rather than picking up on the keyword of a technology solution and just giving all the information about that you know about that technology and the pros and cons of it and et cetera. So that was really big. So the ability to link the information they knew and their technical expertise back to actually what was a business ask, or effectively what was the exact question the business were asking you to solve and come up with an answer for.
And in that scenario, were you the CTO and the three architects were working for you, or were you an outside person working with these three architects?
I was the head of architecture. So I had a team of architects deliver it back to the client. So we effectively did one of the good practices to have is you have a kind of a buffer or board in between that where we take the information, present information back, make a decision at an architecture peer group level before we then turn the information straight to C-suite.
Right. Okay. So your job was to essentially distill all of that knowledge down into actionable decisions, I suppose. Well, depending on whether it was, looking for a budget, informing, or giving a status update, you were then basically distilling all that information you got down into one of those three things, I guess.
Yeah, effectively the role became, and again, this is why the role became a lot harder because it was a lot of work. I became like a gatekeeper between the architect group and the private program and the C-level suite, which as a role, you don't really want to be spending a lot of time doing that. Yes, you want to be spending more time on the good stuff, on looking at new technologies, understanding what needs to be solved and actually solving problems as opposed to editing other people's presentations.
So how did you get from that stage of sort of information dump towards something that was more, well, actionable?
I use a structure. So one of the things we need to do is build a structure. And one thing I was with CTOs is every CTO is different. Everybody has a different personality. So there's no kind of one size fits all. What I'd do is you build a structure. Build a structure of what works for you and your C-level suite. And what you will find after that is the C-suite will actually understand your approach, your mannerism, and the way you share information, and then become a common way of approaching the meeting. So one of the key things to have is consistency. So one of the things I really like to do is actually put the question as the main topic heading that we're looking for. So this presentation solved problem X with technology Y, and then also put what you're looking for. So out of this presentation, I'm looking for a decision, or just be clear that you guys are clear on in terms of progress update, or that you've understood the information I've shared with you from an education perspective. So really be clear on those key elements and what you want.
But what the key question is, what you expect the outcome to be once somebody has received and understood this presentation.
And also, if you know you're going in there without a decision, without coming to a decision, have a call to action. So definitely a next step or a key action taken away. So that's just some kind of closure on the meeting and presentation you've done. For me, again, you talked about it before, it's very easy to kind of get lost in technical information and just share everything you know because you just want to show who you are. But the key for me is just to ensure that they understand what information your client needs or the C-level suite needs. You've addressed that problem clearly and you've walked away in terms of with a clear answer or a clear next step to be able to move forward. So you've actually made progress because they are very expensive meetings. With a 1 hour meeting with 8-10 executives is 1.5 days salary of these people. So, of the organization. So it can be a very expensive meeting.
Right. So it's well worth making the most of it from that perspective then. And when you're helping people put this together, I mean, you talked about starting with why there. Do you think that there is a general pattern that people can follow to figure out what the why is or what the why needs to be before they get to the point of even building their presentation?
Yes, be really clear on if you do not understand the question you're being asked or the question your presentation is addressing to go back and ask for clarification rather than assumption.
It seems so simple, doesn't it, just to ask?
It does. But I find that if you can just ask the question, I was asked about eggs, my thinking is to do why, is that what you're looking for? In the presentation, having that two-minute conversation rather than having that conversation at the end of the presentation and afterwards and then being told that the session or what we wanted isn't great. So to just do that to start with. And, it's so simple. It's simple questions and simple thought process, but that's where you need a structure. Once you have structure, you'll find you don't have to worry about it. You can just think through it. So build a structure on what you need and start with the why. Understand what you need, and then think about the what, and then the how. And if you can build that structure of why, what, how, you'll be able to build a presentation that will address different audiences because each audience requires different information. So there is no kind of, they talk about don't reinvent the wheel, use a presentation you have. However, that really doesn't work for me. I've tried that before, but if you take a technical presentation, and you've agreed with the engineers and you say that's straight up to C-level, you wouldn't get the outcome you want and desire from them because they're just not interested in that level of detail.
And also it's sort of the wrong level audience for that level of understanding as well, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Building a sort of solution, so if you can address the why, that's what people understand. They want to know how you're going to solve their problems as opposed to what you're going to do and how you're going to do it.
Yeah. Well, let's take the example then where we've got somebody who's maybe an architect, maybe a CTO, they're presenting to people who are C-suite and they probably think they're doing a good job. Did a presentation, didn't get any questions. Great. How would somebody in that situation know where they kind of need to upgrade their presentation capability?
Hey, I mean, this is a great question. You all need to get feedback. I mean, there's no doubt about, you know, we all expect.
So number one, ask for feedback.
Ask for feedback. Definitely ask for feedback. Now, you know, you always will get to view a sense of if you went well or not just by the looks around the room. Because in the C-level room, you know, the attention span is quite small because, you know, there are lots going on and lots of decisions to be made. If their eyes are wandering, you're not getting feedback, you know, that's not a good sign. So it's hard to kind of judge what your metric is, but the key, again, it comes back to the point of when you start your presentation, understand what the outcome of the presentation is. If you don't get that outcome, then you know you haven't met your target and something's missing.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a situation where I've gone into a room and I've started presenting and the conversation has gone off at a tangent almost straight away. And that's the other way to tell, I think, isn't it? When you've prepared something and actually you've missed the question. And you state the question up front as you're about to start answering it. And somebody says, hang on a minute, I've got a different question. I need to know this thing instead. It's almost like you can set your presentation aside and just wing it at that point. But that's another signal that you've not actually started with the right question or the expected question.
And I think that the kind of caveat is that can happen at any point in time because conversation, you know, you could be given the question, you know, a question you've written, you know, you clearly articulated the question and answered the question, but there's been a side conversation that's happened and new information coming between the time of the person, you know, being given the task and delivering the presentation. So I think it's that point rather than winging it. I think it is, you know, if you've done what you've expected to do, I think you're well within your rights to say, okay, obviously we've taken final new information. We're not really kind of where we need to be. Information having this kind of outdated. I think you should go away and think about bring back more information to answer the question you've just asked me to fulfill what we need. Because I think, for me, rather than wing it, and again, I know it happens because we're in the moment, we still want to kind of get validation, get through what we've done because we've kind of put so much time and effort into this blood, sweat, and tears, into the presentations. You know, well within your right to say, let's kind of stop the presentation now, save a lot of people's time and energy, address the question you want to address, let's agree on what you really want to know next and how we want to move this forward, and then come back to our later state, later stage to come up with that.
I think that becomes possible when you start out with that point of, this is the question I'm trying to answer. And if you start out with that bit correct, then you're going to get people leaning in, listening to you. They're ready to hear what you want to say. Whereas you're going to get a different response if the question you prepared is not actually the question that they expected.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's a case of validation at the point as well, because I think you can quickly nip in the bud or different opinions around the room, which, you know, we're all humans, it happens, versus I thought we were here to talk about X, or I thought we already made that decision. Like, this is why we have this kind of structure. So have the structure of purpose, outcome, and a summary of what you intend to share with them. You know, if you can have those three points, you'll be kind of well on your way to be able to have a consistent presentation. And I think from CTO, if you can build your presentation template and format into that structure and you stick with that structure or change it, adopt it to what fits the audience as you kind of work with them more and get to understand them more.
Get to know them more, yeah.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's all soft skills and people skills. You've got to kind of be able to kind of build that rapport with them so they can get and so on. What information they need and what they're saying.
Brilliant. So let's say, for example, somebody's got those three in place. What are the other things that people can still do wrong, you know, once they've got that sort of the bare bones in place there? Because I've honestly seen a lot more presentations that have gone sideways than they've gone perfectly.
Yeah, that's a great question. There is so much kind of variables within people around the room. You've got yourself and you've got the technology in terms of, you know, being able to present information. We've got web conference calls, we've got PowerPoint, we've got, you know, screen shares and all sorts. So, you know, there's so many variables that can go wrong when you put a presentation together. So it's one of the reasons I kind of developed a framework to allow people to kind of follow a structure and keep them kind of on point in what they're doing. And really, you know, look at kind of five areas of the five S framework around state, script, story, serve, and sell and succeed. And the idea is you kind of structure your presentation around those five elements will always keep you kind of true to what you want to achieve from your presentation. And for us, even as we talk here, you know, we talk about state, anything could happen. Someone could ring the doorbell, there could be, you know, you lose your network connectivity. But, you know, to kind of address that with the audience without kind of showing that is something's gone awry is kind of key. So it's really important we kind of look at those areas. So really, you know, define your objectives, establish the rapport with the audience. Script as well, you know, you've asked in a lot of times about in script. I've had presentations delivered when the person delivering the presentation never gave me any eye contact. They've just basically looked at the screen on the wall and where the PowerPoint presentations have just read word for word off the slide.
Another fairly common mistake then.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's not what they're for. So keep your script is kind of how you want to be able to tell your story or what information you need. Your presentation should be just supporting material or the summary of information you want to be able to share as well. If something, you know, you're passionate about and how we do the podcast about your story. So have the story, have the information to hand, have some narrative and structure around it, beginning, middle, and end, not just come straight to the answer. Take them on a bit of a journey so they understand. Show how you solve problems along the way, because it kind of helps kind of put into perspective and context of the information you're sharing and why you're sharing it. Serve is always like, I'm here to add value and bring information. If I'm not doing that, then I'm actually not really doing my job, because if I'm just here to deliver a presentation and it's not giving any new information, any updates, or helping the business move forward, then what's the point of the presentation? There are so many presentations we put together and spend a lot of time on and deliver, but they don't really add any value to the organization or the way forward. So it's always key to understand, if I'm putting a presentation together, who's it for? What purpose is it going to serve? And what value will the audience get from that presentation as well, and the information? And again, selling succeed is really need to articulate the benefits of the solution, you know, focus on the strength and the benefits, use kind of strong persuasive language, you know, kind of less of the, I think it's up to you, you know, be a bit more clear and concise. I've fallen over that many times myself, and people said to me, got some great ideas, but you need to be a bit more conviction in being able to deliver, you know, in selling actually, what do you really mean? And he's kind of, well, it depends. Well, let's make a decision and then we can move forward. So a bit more conviction and persuasive, and really a call to action is, now I've given information, do you have enough to be able to make a decision? Can you give me an answer, or is there a next step? So always be kind of clear in terms of how you can move forward. Never try to leave a presentation of, yeah, I'm not sure yet, let's come back to it another time. Have a clear action to be able to close out the decision or action needed on the back of the presentation. And those five steps will help you kind of build your structure, will help you build your style as well, because everyone has a different style, everyone has a different mannerism. Find your own. And I think that's why I wanted a framework rather than a presentation template for everybody to use, because everybody will be slightly different. The audience is different. The organizations are different. You have to be kind of empathetic to how the organization works as well, and so forth as well. So it's just kind of using that as a framework and just building on it each step by step, and you'll kind of improve and find your way going forward.
Excellent. Okay, so you've given us really good examples there in each of those five S's, as you call them, of some of the things that can go wrong. Probably worth just quickly running through and going sort of how you would approach getting it right on each of those five things. What are sort of the key points in each one? So the first one was state, wasn't it?
Yes, state.
And so what's the key thing that we need to get right there with state then?
State is this two state, the state of yourself, of how you are ready to present, and also the state of your audience. So making sure your audience is comfortable is based on how you feel yourself. So if you're coming kind of nervous and or trained yourself as not ready, the audience loses confidence in what you're going to say even before you've started. So kind of confidence is key. And I know that's really easy to say and it's very hard to do, but it's just something that, again, with practice and time, becomes kind of second nature to what you do.
And there is an element of sort of fake it until you make it at the beginning, isn't it? Sort of go in there, tell yourself you're confident, you'll be more confident. And then as you relax, the confidence actually comes a bit more naturally when you realize you are in your own element.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it comes with time. Like yourself and myself, we've both been through, you know, you've got the scars. I've had some bad presentations in my time, and you learn. And you know, that's just the journey we've been on. It's not something you can learn easily. It's a soft skill we need to pick more and more, especially within these new kind of times of the way we present information through teleconferences more than in person. That is just something we need to pick up on and be aware of.
And I find it's something with engineers, they always have less practice at presenting and talking to others than many other roles within the organization, because a lot of engineering is quite individual in nature, especially when you're understanding a problem or building code. And you probably spend more time interacting with your compiler than you do with other people, that's certainly in your early career of developing software.
It is, yeah, exactly. And one of the reasons, and again, perfect example of this framework and where it came from and state is when I was interviewing for architects, they were basically really good senior engineers who want to play the next step up to architecture. So they've done all the kind of groundwork, they want to get to architecture. So I would get taken through a two-stage kind of interview process. The first was a technical interview for competency, and they'll pass on the flying covers. And next, I said, okay, great, you've made the grade. Please come back and we'll have a kind of a second interview just to kind of, can you just prepare a 10-minute presentation on a topic of your choice that you're familiar with technology-wise, or we'll give them a technology if it's something we're looking for specifically.
Right. So 10 minutes on something you know, it doesn't sound like the bar is too high there, really, does it?
No, exactly, because it's a technical component. I'm presented to a panel. So it'd be myself, one from who's another technical, and also someone kind of who's from the, maybe from the sales team, piece I've seen as well.
So a fairly typical audience for presentation then.
As you would. And that audience is normally the kind of the types of people you engage with, being clients or the organizations go forward. And it's effectively where they would fail. And they would fail because they just didn't know how to articulate information. Technically, they were very capable. They just couldn't articulate information. That's something that kind of really resonated with me, because I wanted to, I really enjoy coaching and mentoring the kind of the juniors and bringing them up and then having it.
We share a passion there.
But one thing I was really keen on is focusing on leadership rather than managing. And the role became really managing because it was became like micromanaging their time, their effort, and helping them craft things together as opposed to letting them, you know, go out on their own and just you know, need, you know, deliver.
And so of the people that you were interviewing then, how many of them were struggling with this presentation? Was it sort of 50-50 or was it less than that?
Honestly, it was, I would say
90%. 90% of architects who are completely technically competent struggle to present.
For the ones that, if I looked at the ones I was interviewing and working with, yes. Now, it was interesting. Now, as I said, to your point is, you know, they're very used to just being given a problem, going away, solving it, and coming back with you know, this really shiny way of solving the problem, not having to talk to them and explain. So it really is a step change for them. Ones who fared better were the ones who had come from a more consulting background as opposed to kind of an engineering background. So there was a difference in how they could articulate themselves and move forward. So it's definitely something in terms of understanding what they wanted to do and achieve. And, it's interesting you say 50-50, but, you know.
Well, that was sort of the number I expected, just plucking it out of the air. But,
you know, it is a lot higher because they are technically proficient and they're left to just solve a problem. Now, ask them to explain the problem of why they've done what they've done. It's not something they've had to worry about before and think about because it's just, I've solved today's problem. But like it.
Yeah. So it's just one of these many new skills that it would come across in this step from sort of internal architect to being an enterprise or solution architect.
And it's exactly why I like the structure of the understanding the why and then use that to explain to the C-level what you're after, why you're after that decision. So we need some new technology investment to meet this X business goal, which is part of your strategy for long-term sustainability or growth. The next one is the what. So as an architect or CTO, I've done the how in terms of the why to the C-suite. I then do the what. And I do that to my peer group, to my senior engineer. Said, now we've got the why decision made. The what is what we need to do to achieve that goal. And that, again, is tying the why of the strategic reason to the what and then how we achieve that. Then the how is really where the technical information comes, which is where the engineers come into play of how we're going to solve that problem. Now, if you can build that, to me, is three different presentations because I'm trying to aim for the same goal, but I'm trying to give different levels of information for that audience. So then, so what we're trying to achieve, we should all then be on the same page with the same outcome going forward. So, you know, I like to use the why, the what, and the how built around the structure of the 5S framework, and you'll be able to kind of put the two together and then be able to deliver the presentations you need.
Excellent, excellent. So it's not quite the same as Simon Sinek's golden circle then, although we do start with why, but then we go to what, and we finish off with the how, explaining. Excellent. Okay, so that's the first of the, sorry, that's the first and second of the two S's then. So state and then structure. And next we come on to story, was that right?
Yeah, well, structure and script. But you're right, you could probably swap the S, the script for the structure in what we just said. The story is effectively providing examples of what we're doing and why we're doing it. So it's really easy to say, got this new technology, we need to put some investment and can you just sign that off? But the story is how we got to where we need to make that decision. So really being able to sell them on the idea of what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how we're doing it, like we talked about, but just at a really very top high level. So then some what we're doing, have some structure around what you're going to tell them. So again, another approach, depending on the audience and information trying to share with them, is tell them again, and then tell them again. So you've kind of got a beginning, middle, and the end, but you're kind of reiterating information you're sharing. You know, technically we can get quite complicated in information. So trying to always bring it back and summarize and bring it forward is part of the story. And the more you can weave that into a story, the more they're likely to be able to follow it, rather than just a series of facts and bullet points. And then really effectively asking them to memorize it and move on to the next slide.
Yeah, which can be overwhelming at times, can't it? If you just sort of deliver facts without having a natural progression through it, which is essentially what a story is when you come to actually make a presentation.
Yeah, and effectively, you know, conflict and resolution, they want to understand what the problem was and how it was resolved. So if you can show them stories in that sense, that would always be really, that always helps them as well.
Yeah, the good old adversary and the hero.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, then they can kind of put it into perspective and they understand it and they put it into their mind a bit clearer.
Cool. Okay. And then so of the other two, then we've got serve and sell as the other two. Is that right?
Yeah. So serve is effectively being clear that when you put your presentation together, so you're clear and confident in your presentation, you put your script together and your presentation of what you want to deliver. You understand the story or what you want to deliver. So, you know, be clear, just ask yourself, is this presentation going to give my audience the information they need to make a decision or be able to move the needle forward? Effectively, they're the two issues. You know, you want a decision from it or you're helping them understand something better to try and progress to the next stage. If it's not, then obviously something needs to change or you need to go back and do something different. Now, another way to check for that serve is, take your presentation, and the information you provide, and actually you share it with somebody who's going to be in the C-level suite. So maybe the CEO or the CIO or someone who can just help validate, you know, you're hitting the key points and they understand it and they make all the questions that you haven't thought about. If that's the case, then you've got some time to kind of adapt and adopt and add information or change information. So it's clearer for them when you take it to the board meeting.
That's a really good point. That's something I always recommend as well. Is if you're trying to influence a board level, a C-suite, even a committee, it's always worth approaching at least one or two of the members to validate what it is that you're saying. It's a slightly less expensive way than presenting to the whole group. You can save time because you understand whether your message is going to land and what are the objections that you might not have thought about. So you can, you know, be ready with those when it comes to talking to the whole group. And also you can just check that you're on track. It's just a really good way of validating that you're actually, you know, approaching the subject from the right way.
Yeah, and it leads you clearly onto the sell, because that's obviously success or succeed is, have I achieved what I wanted to achieve? You know, whether that's I've got approval, I've obtained approval, I have information from the audience, they understand information in the kind of way, understanding what needed, or secure that promotion because I either senior engineers moving to the CTO role or head of architecture or a head of role, or this kind of lands you that next job that you wanted. So it's really clear that you have that. A really great example of putting that together is I had to present back to, we had a decision to make on the program on having to buy a tool that they already had as an enterprise edition tool. So they already had an enterprise license organization, and the decision was to obtain the second enterprise license of that product, of that tool for the organization. Now, the clues are then obviously, if it's an enterprise license, why do I need more than one? But I had to be really clear on what we were achieving. One was kind of on-premise and being heavily used, and we wanted to move a second instance for a different reason to the cloud and have a cloud version of the tool. But I had to go through this whole process of being really clear to the board of what we needed. So what they asked was of to buy a second instance of the same tool for the program. And the key here was linking the reason and the purpose for that IT investment back to the business process and business need, because that was key. I could easily give information and you know, the pros and cons of the benefits of that tool, but it wouldn't make a sense. You know, the answer would be, yeah, great, I see the benefit, but so what? What's it going to do for me? How's it going to move me forward? So the key was always to bring it back to business goals and mission. So always bring back the technology aspect and of what you do back to the purpose to the business and how it's going to help the business. I was able to articulate that information to the board. I then, in terms of putting the presentation to kind of check in terms of the serve, I went down to the head of who reported to the CIO to get their engagement, get their buy-in, and understand the purpose and got to get the backing for what I needed. So when I went into the board meeting to get that approval, it was great because I was able to articulate the information in about three slides just to the team. This is what I'm after. This is the decision we're looking for. This is a decision I would like. This is the reasons for that decision or why I believe that's the right decision. As I finished the presentation, the first person to speak and back my recommendation was the CIO without me having to kind of prompt them. It was, yes, we know this is why we need 2 ministers. Yes, we have one, but based on my team and my support model, that's what I would recommend to go with as well. So that was great just the CIO to back what I needed at that point. A couple of questions on costs were asked, and then it was a CIO saying, yep, you've given us information we needed, and so we need decision made and approved.
Excellent. So that was a very top example of actually using the framework to full effect there. So literally every single one of those five was a key element in getting approval for what otherwise would have been a very difficult to justify purchase. We need another one of the same thing that covers our organization in a slightly different way.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, and the reason we needed it, or the program needed it, was for different business purposes. And that was key, that the business purpose and this was the key to making that decision, which should be for any IT or a related decision to be made. You should relate to the, you know, how is it going to support the business? How is it going to move us forward? How will it move us forward?
Yeah, absolutely. Good. So you now use this framework yourself, but you also coach and teach others on this framework, don't you, to help others to basically improve their presentation techniques and their chances of success with making these big requests or educating non-technical people about some sometimes fairly technical topics.
Yeah, and it's really great because every time I talk about, I have the, you know, framework and training program, always get the response of, oh yeah, I've seen that so many times, or yeah, that, you know, that'd be really helpful. And it's kind of like a, you know, we say it's like a no-brainer, but it's so easy to forget when we're kind of stuck in the weeds and down in the weeds. So yeah, they have a training program, 1 or 2 days, depending on the size of the group, open to individuals and also to bigger groups, up to 10 people. And we go through each of these stages, each of these steps, come up with different tips, share the different tips and purposes of each of them and why you need them. And really, as part of also work with them to build a presentation that they have to present back. So it's an interactive course. It's not just something that's kind of told to them. They have to build all the information within those 2 days. So we do ask them.
And then deliver it as well, I presume, back to the group.
Deliver it back to us. And then the reason is, you know, you're in a safe environment, you'll get feedback, and then you can tell that and improve and keep growing. And it's a framework because each organization, each person will have a slightly different type of how they want to present information or what they need to know. So we adapt it. And also provide them with some templates that they can take away and use and adopt to what they need going forward as well.
So I can imagine the templates probably serve two purposes. One is obviously the fairly straightforward of a quick start into building a presentation. But the other I can imagine is essentially a reminder of the steps to go through and where to start with building a presentation, rather than, as many of us do when we're in a rush, starting from the end. I need a decision. Give me the answer I need, which is the temptation too many times, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's back to the point of consistency. If you can build a framework and a structure you have, that's like half the battle is, where do I start? Question of need, you know, have that structure reuse that structure all the time for all your presentations, and you'll find that you'll get the right fit. So if I'm doing the C-level, I have a structure and a template. If I have my peer group, I have different structure. If I talk to the engineering team, I have a third template. But in theory, if you can limit the amount of templates you have, then it's just about swapping information or summarizing information you have. So there is some sharing. So not reinvent from scratch the wheel, but you are able to kind of adopt and adapt quickly. You know, one of the famous stats is 30 million presentations are kind of written every day in PowerPoint. I don't know how true that figure is, but that's kind of what people say. To build a half an hour presentation, a really good, clean presentation, can take anything between 20 and 60 hours.
Gives an idea of just how much time is spent building presentations everywhere.
Exactly. So, you know, you multiply those numbers, there's a lot of money, time invested into building presentations. The more we can become slicker, the more we'll make decisions quicker, the more our teams will be happier, the more we're progressing forward. And, you know, longer term, save money from a business perspective in terms of just progressing and making decisions forward.
Absolutely. It's one of the things that I come up against most often in my coaching is talking about the value of clean and quick and concise communication. And I find that quite a lot of people struggle to understand, you know, where to start in terms of getting communication going. But I think this framework is a very clear example of how to get going. And I presume that out of your training courses, you've seen some people who've then gone on to see some brilliant results. Have you got some examples you can share with us of people who've gone through your training and then actually delivered, you know, a great presentation to big impact afterwards?
Yeah, especially one of the things I've worked with is I've had some really good feedback. So I've taken your information, you know, and those skills will stay with you forever, and they've left and gone to other places or people I've worked with before. One of the things that worry with is people just throwing information onto a sheet and said to them, come to me, show me the information you've got and your presentation, and then just put everything down. And we said, so, okay, what is it out of all the information you need to be able to disseminate and present back to the audience? And I said, okay, and they become really stuck. I don't know what you mean. What you're after? What do you mean? Okay, so, okay, let's start with this kind of framework. What is the purpose of your presentation? What information are you trying to share? So, you know, what's the purpose is kind of like the serve. It's okay, the advisor to present back on X to make a decision. Okay, so that's your purpose and script. What is it they need to know to be able to make that decision? Oh, well, I've got all this technical information. Don't really know what they need. Okay, go back to your question. What is it that you're looking for a decision on? Then you can kind of summarize the script. Okay, now you've summarized the script. What information have you got or story or related in terms of what you've done to be able to just bring to life what you're after and the information, you know, the decision you're after? Oh, okay, I could talk about this because that's what happened. That's why it went wrong. That's why we need to kind of make another decision because that other solution you were working on didn't work. Hey, great. So you've got your story there, what we need. What do you want out of the presentation? You know, what do you want at the end of it? Well, I just want them to say yes to, we can go ahead and implement that new technology or whatever it is. Okay, so you've got your succeed and sell. Okay, fine. Let's get those four bits, the serve, the script, the story, the success done. Then I find that the state then takes care of itself, because state is really the hardest. That's psychologically, you know, you as a person, you know, how confident are you in what you're delivering? It's down to how well do you know your content.
And how confident are you that your content is going to have the impact that you hope it will do, which is the decision or the education?
Yeah, it would. And you know, it's not perfect. You know, they do improve and it does get better. And at the end of it, it's great to see them just flourish at their end of it and be more motivated and energized to go and share the information more, be more passionate about it, be more worried, and just kind of execute on what they've got as well. So there's been a few situations like that, especially things around cloud technology, cloud security and connectivity. There's lots of complications in that. And it's like, well, you know, we need X, Y, Z. But they don't need to know that technology, that technical solution. They need to why they need it. Well, it's going to stop you from being hacked, or it's going to be more data compliant. As a C-level suite, that's all they need to know. You know, what problems can they solve, how is it going to benefit me?
Brilliant. So if there's CTOs out there who've got an organization where communication and presentation is one of the struggles that they come up against, how do they find you, Deepak?
They can find me by going to my website, unity.co.uk, or on LinkedIn, and I think both will be in the description anyway. So that's the best way to kind of get hold of me and message me, and we can connect, share information.
Brilliant stuff. And I think if we were to try and wrap it all up then and get to the one thing, what would you say if there's absolutely one thing that somebody needs to take away that they need to absolutely get right when they're building a presentation, have the need for presentation, just the one thing to make the biggest difference, the way that they're working right now or presenting right now, what would that be?
For me, it would be, as a CTO, find your structure, have a structure and find your presentation way. Because once you've got that nailed, you'll be able to then deliver presentation, you know, just churn presentations out as quickly as you needed and get decisions made. And you'll kind of have that gravitas from your C-level suite in terms of they know who you are, how you present information, and how you operate. So it'll just make things a lot easier going forward.
And it'll flow from there. Brilliant. Deepak, thanks for sharing your insights on presentation skills for senior technology leaders. I think it's a challenge that many tech leaders face day in, day out. And there's, as you said, there's millions of hours put into building presentations and communicating complicated technical facts every week. To our listeners, if you found today's episode valuable, please visit our website to join the CTO Playbook community and access more resources for your CTO journey. The links will be in the show notes. Until next time, stay innovative and keep leading with impact.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you very much for listening all the way through to the end. Just before you go, I'd like to ask you for one thing in return for putting together all these episodes of the CTO Playbook podcast for you. Please leave a review. Wherever you're listening, whether that is Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whichever platform you're on. Leaving a quick review will help more CTOs find the podcast and enable me to create more great episodes. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of the CTO Playbook.